do you have that friend that's always having the worst time?
I am that friend.
Life as a mom, entrepreneur, wife, friend, and human is a lot. Join me, Katie Jacobs.
And me, Brandi Chandler, every Thursday as we have unfiltered, hilarious, and relatable conversations about the up, the down, and the chaos of it all.
Pour a glass and pull up a seat.
Because you're always welcome at our table.
Hi, Brandi.
Hi, Katie.
Welcome.
Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome to our podcast.
She did what?
What did she do?
She did it.
She did a lot.
She did all the things.
She's done a lot of things. Some of them she's not proud of.
But mostly she's very proud.
Mostly proud.
Honored to be at this point.
We made it. Today we're talking about the B word.
The B word. Is that the B word I think it is?
I just don't even want to say it.
We have to say it one time.
All right. We're talking about balance today.
Balance.
Balance. Let's just dive right in. Balance is complete bullshit.
It is.
It's just not real in the terms we're going to use it. Because I do think balance is real and important in certain aspects of life. Balance as women who are trying to do so much and do so much right is such an impossible standard.
Yes.
So it's important for us to kick this episode off, our first episode off, with this foundation.
So balance with a capital B is what the BS is.
Yes.
There is no elusive, you have achieved the balance. We will never be there.
No.
Balance with a lowercase b. And we're trying our best. Let's get everything as in line as possible at this moment in time.
Right.
That word we can handle. We're not saying the capital B word.
Right. Right. So one of the reasons we're starting off with this episode is because I speak to a lot of different groups, different age groups, business summits, students. The one question I always get first when we go into a Q&A or afterwards from every age range, I'm talking 16 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you know, how do you find balance? How do you do it all?
Yeah.
And I look at everyone and I say, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real.
No.
So I think it's really, this is one of the most topically important things we could kick off this podcast with, because mm-hmm. I think it's one of the places we could just offer from experience clarification.
Yes.
And especially for people that are going, because here's the other thing, on social media, on the internet, there's so many people who are acting like they have this.
Yes.
Who are posing. Mm-hmm. Like they have found, oh, and they'll sell it to you.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to sell
it to you. They never let you behind that wall.
No. Because mm-hmm. the emperor has no clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. Now, there are people who are living very Zen lives, very, I think, where they have found. But I would recategorize this as joy.
Yes. We've talked about that. And I agree. Because when you find joy and you prioritize those things that bring you joy, the B word kind of works itself out. Because you're wanting the joy and you're wanting to feed that joy. And so you reprioritize things right. that need to be reprioritized into gaining a wholeness.
I'm trying not to say balance.
I feel like
wholeness.
I'm in front of Buddha. Well, we talked about this a lot
because we both struggle with it. It is one of the biggest things women talk about without talking about it all the time.
Yes. Let me read this quote.
Read the quote.
I think this is good because this is where you and I come from on this balance thing, because we reached our limit with this particular topic, I think. Mm. Gentle reminder that the 40-hour work week is outdated and was designed with the assumption someone else was going to be always taking care of the cooking and cleaning and household errands. It wasn't designed for you to be doing it all. If you're having a hard time, you're not a failure. And that's where I think we both we're just like, I can't do this anymore. Because we were trying to do all those things, to do the 40 hours, to do all the house stuff. Not that our husbands don't participate. They're trying to do all those things too. Yeah. But we just can't all do it all.
No.
And so we have to finally be like, all right, something's got to give a little and figure out what that is. So we can be joyful.
I call it the unseen load.
Yes.
The 1 million emails I get from schools, and I have 3 children.
1 million? I get 2.
Brandy, I get 14 million emails.
There are a lot of emails.
It is. So to walk you through it, if you're not in this stage of life yet, or if you have passed this stage and you're like, how the hell does this generate? It is, you wake up in the morning, I try and get a workout in. There's already text coming, already text messages coming.
The health, through. The work, the family.
Oh my gosh.
The yard, this, the that. The house.
And then you wake up, maybe the dog has puked in the bed because my dogs are getting older. And then you get the kids up, you get them, they leave for school at the crack of dawn. The literal crack of dawn. Mm-hmm. So my kids are on the bus at 7:20. And then we have the baby. He's 2, but we call him the baby. That you have to get out the door. And somewhere in there, I've worked out, showered, put on a full face of makeup, my hair, maybe eaten. I have the hard-boiled egg hack. I just cut up a hard-boiled egg and throw it in my face and get a Journey juice and I run out the door. And then you go and you work a full day and everyone at work wants to see you show up committed, positive, invested and involved in them. In what you're doing there.
Striving, thriving.
And then you clock out of that. Meanwhile, you're in communication all day with all these other places. And then you clock out of that. And then you start the second shift, which is homework, activities, meals.
Baths,
bedtime. And then everyone gets into bed. I generally go to bed. I've started going to bed. We were talking about this earlier than my kids on the weekend.
Fend for yourselves, children.
Just, I don't even care if you brush your teeth. Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
So how do you do all of that well?
Well,
plus laundry, plus the class party, plus, oh my gosh,
this could go on.
My mom has a doctor's appointment. I'm worried. Plus all of our friends.
Yeah.
That we love and are committed to.
Yeah. It's a lot. And we're not made to have to do all that. We're just doing it to ourselves.
No, we're not.
No, society we're not. Has done it to us, and then that we fall into that it for a while.
The fucking 2024 of it all.
Yeah.
You are so connected. Mm-hmm. Email, think about this. What if you didn't have a computer?
I wouldn't be able to live.
But you would, and you could, because people have done it.
No, you literally can't. Some places will not do anything with you other than email.
The expectation on communication. If I don't answer a vendor email within 2 days, I'm getting a harassing, oh, girl.
I come to an industry, like, if you don't respond back in 30 minutes, they're calling you to make sure you're still alive.
Oh, that's worse.
Like, it's crazy.
What do you do?
You don't. Say, you fuck stop. It. You do. You're like, I'm done. I got to do something different
I quit. I've threatened to quit my job, but I own the business.
I threatened to quit my job, and I did. Yeah. But that's why we're here today.
All right. Now that we've set the precedent of like what's going on.
Yeah. But, and it's not just midlife. I feel like this starts earlier and earlier for people too. I mean, I feel like college kids are having breakdowns. High school kids are having breakdowns.
The expectations on people in general, I think, are crushing.
And I really want to open the floor. I have a teenage daughter and you're around young women a lot so that people know, okay, be an achiever, do things. But don't kill yourself. Like, make time to have joy in what you're doing. Like, don't just work towards everything. And family is work. You know, kids are work. Just to find some sort of joy in everything that you're doing.
Right.
And to be able to be worth it.
So going back to that, I think if you are a person asking yourself this question a lot, and I remember so many times, I think I've come to a better conclusion, but so many times throughout the last 10 years, it really started hitting when I had my son, because before that, it didn't.
Because you only had you and JJ.
It was just us.
Yeah.
And then work. And then it became so complex and there were so many things so out of my control and out of my hands. There was this new little human that just depended on me for everything. And so it really changed the whole dynamic of my relationships and my life and my understanding of what I was supposed to be doing. So then you take that and you lump on all of the pressure of today and what you're supposed to be doing. And I remember very specifically after I had my middle son, I was at market buying, and I remember all of these women who I respect and hold in high regard looking at me going, Katie, you're just killing it. You're just killing it. Like,
it's a good thing.
You're crushing it. And I remember almost wanting to cry and thinking, I'm killing myself. Mm-hmm. I am not healthy. I'm certainly not mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I'm doing. And I feel at all times confused and bewildered and upset. And I didn't have a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. So I guess, can we talk about that? Like, what? Because I know there are women watching and listening who are feeling that same way, whether or not they have kids, whatever part of your life you're in. So,
yeah, you know, something's not sitting right.
A lot probably is not sitting right.
Yeah.
Because we're seeking balance. We're chasing a mirage in the desert and we're dying trying to get there.
So what's the first sign to you that you're out of whack and you need to make a change?
Here's what I found.
Oh, Siri wants to get in on this.
That bitch.
I don't even know how to
She's
do that.
She's always got something to
Here's
say.
Here's what I found. Well, let's see what
did
your
she
body
find?
Knows you're burned out. A New York Times? Now it went away. So what's the first sign for you, though, Katie, not Siri, that you're out of whack, and how do you attempt to start reeling that back in?
So I liken it to like the feeling of being in a cyclone when I feel like I'm spinning. Mm-hmm. And I have visualized this in therapy to be like I'm in a tornado and I can't get out, or like I'm spinning, like, you know, a street performer has like the sticks with all the plates. And they're spinning all the plates and they can't let a plate drop. And I feel like I'm running myself ragged trying to not drop a plate. And I feel like when I feel that tornado plate spinning sense, I know that I'm headed in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And I think I lived in the wrong direction for so long that I know it. So I think I'm more hypersensitive to that. Mm-hmm. And also as you get older, your physical needs change too. Your body, Sarah's right, your body does react and you will get sick. And I've had probably twice a year, I'll have a day where I come to work and I immediately have to go home and I sleep for 2 days.
Oh yeah.
Like I do not get, I sleep. I don't watch TV. I'm not in bed. I'm not.
Yeah, you just need to
I haven't
down.
Taken to the bed.
Yeah.
I am like, my body is like, you're done.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I get migraines. So I understand that because that's how I am. Different levels of migraines, but there's that one where
there's a physical manifestation.
You got to get yourself in that bed. That's the only thing that's going to get you over it.
It is a physical manifestation of the chase of the 40-hour work week plus the unseen load that is impossible.
Oh, girl. All right.
Just said a mouthful.
What's the best tool you have for a maintenance, for sustainability, for not getting out of whack?
The easiest thing, I think, and it's free, so there's no excuse, is to get into nature.
Very nice.
So I was feeling this bad the other day and just dreading my second shift, which is when I get home and homework starts, which is just, it's hard. It's a battle. And I said, damn the torpedoes. And I, you know, got all my kids dressed and we went, there's a little park with trails. And we went to the park and we walked trails and my kids created this whole game with sticks and they just had this whole cool thing happening. And it's kind of on a hill. So they're like running up and down the hill, exhausting themselves. My dog was there. And I was breathing the air and I was not on my phone was in the stroller and we were down on this hill and just breathing fresh air and enjoying birds and sounds and my children and seeing their sheer pleasure of getting an afternoon where I was like, we're not doing homework. We're going to go do this. Mm-hmm. And I think it is something that's so easy to attain is to unplug and go into nature and, like, you know, I'm a hippie, do some forest bathing. But it is such a reset for your brain and your body. And really, when we're spinning our nervous system, so I learned this, I did psychosomatic therapy, which is incredible. I highly recommend it for people who are like, I don't know, me or anybody, anybody, but who really need to calm the nervous system down because your nervous system has a reaction to all of this. It's proven. Like when you run at this pace, it's very hard to come down.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a high. Your body is just feeding and your brain is conditioned to feed off of that. I was listening to something the other day. It was like, I'm an elder millennial and I was taught that I have to constantly be doing something or my brain, like even if I like quit my job, my brain is still thinking, go, 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 go. I've got to do, 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 do. And you've got to reprogram that whole,
system. You have to find ways to come off of that, to come down.
It's like a bad drug.
It is. I mean, it is a drug. We have created, our society has created a drug and it affects women the most. So the come down.
Yeah. It's safe to say you went a little feral. You had a feral afternoon. You just like went out with the kids. You played with some sticks. You felt great.
Yes. I mean, how great to be feral.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like it. I worry sometimes about, you know, we've created this culture of, oh, you just take to the bed and then you're staring at, you're doom scrolling. And what kind of mental state you get in. And I worry about our parents too. Oh my God, with the Facebooks and the goodness. I mean, it's like.
And that's the important part because you can go sit at the park and still be on your phone.
Oh yeah. You got to put that
You
got to
leave that away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard. You're just so.
Connected.
Yeah. And you need to have people to be able to get in touch with you and things like that. So yeah, I love it.
To take joy another step, joy can be really simple.
Mm.
Pleasure can be really simple.
Yes.
I think we have over-manufactured joy and pleasure.
Yes.
That you have to be on a Caribbean cruise or you have to be in Greece and Mykonos or, you know, you have to be somewhere really special, but some of the most special places can be your backyard.
And you know what I've been really recognizing lately is I've been working on like finding more joy too.
Mm-hmm.
The joy is there. I have to open my eyes and brain.
That just
and see
hit
it.
Me in my like heart.
Yes. Like, you've got to get that mindset. Like, look for the joy.
Gratitude practice, man.
It's really helpful.
In the show notes, let's remember to link to this. My mentor sent me this. It's a neurologist did a TED talk about if you wake up and the first thing you do the minute your eyes open is send gratitude to three people. It could be the woman who served you your coffee yesterday at the diner. It can be anybody. But if you open your morning with a practice of giving three people gratitude and give it to them specifically. Send that energy through the universe. Yeah. I know I sound like a crazy hippie right now, but try it. The neurological effect on your brain is so, it is the effect of, I am
the
not
drugs.
A doctor.
Not the bad drugs.
The good drugs. It has the same effect.
Yeah.
You can naturally do these things. It's just giving gratitude and starting your day from that headspace and heart space is like, that'll change your whole day.
Well, and I love that what you are doing is nothing you have to do. You don't have to write it down in a journal. No. You don't have to post it on Instagram. You're just, before you get out of bed. So what I've been doing is, you know, I'm consciously awake. Even my eyes may not even be open. Mm-hmm. And I pray gratitude prayers. Thank you for waking me up.
Yes.
Thank you for all of my kids being in this house. I'm going to go make some coffee.
Yes.
And just trying to start the day on a good foot. It doesn't happen every day.
No.
But we don't need something else to do.
But we can try. And we can feel love and gratitude and start our day that way. And it's not a big thing. Walking out into your backyard as opposed to doom scrolling on your couch and just laying out a blanket and staring up at the sky and watching the cloud formations. Well,
I even love your bed and like my bed thing because that's nothing else we have to add.
Sure.
A couple of thoughts.
You're big on that. You're big on the like, let's keep this very simple.
I'm big on that.
I tend to overcomplicate. So I think we're good. We're good.
balance. We said it.
No, this balance.
No, okay. It's lowercase.
At 3 a.m, I was thinking about this because there is good balance.
There is good balance. It's lowercase.
In friendship.
Balance.
You need balance. In relationships, if one person's doing all the work and no one's doing any work, Now, there will be times somebody's having a harder time, somebody's having an easier time. And then, but somebody, one friend, do you have that friend that's always having the worst time? They're always,
I think I am that friend. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I know that person.
She is me, I am her. No, but if you're never asking other people.
Yeah.
Or if it's always like, you know, one of my friends hurt my feelings this week because I was like having a really tough time. My son had the stomach bug, which
is not me, is it?
No. Okay. And I was just like, I was hurt. It just, they kept talking about themselves. And I was like, I am in some, yeah. I'm literally in the shit. I'm in it. My hands are covered.
And we mean literally.
And I'm sorry, but like, can you just ask about me one time? Like, it just, it hurt my feelings. And it was fleeting and I got over it and it's fine. But you can't always be the friend that's having the heart. You know, they're, so it, or in marriage, like you have to have those balances. Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about balance in general, balance with the big B, balance with the little B.
I love the big B, little B. I'm so glad you coined that. You're so smart.
Sometimes Brandy, you're I can so come smart. Up with something. Don't, I'll probably trip on my way out of here. Then really bat my car into somebody. Don't set me up for failure, Katie. So we've talked about the different kinds of balances. We've talked about like first signs of going out of whack. Mm-hmm. And reeling yourself back in so you don't go off the tracks.
Right.
How do you encourage your friends when you, like, they're telling you, like we were just talking about their problems and their bad day? Sometimes you can see stuff they can't see. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it's so obvious someone's out of balance or just, like, they're like, this is your problem.
Right.
How do you help encourage them? You know, to find some joy. And
I think you have to ask the question, first of all, do you need a shoulder?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you need advice? Because if you start giving people who are not open to receiving advice, like, oh, this is what I think, you are doomed because they're not in a place.
Well, and sometimes they just want to vent.
Do you need a vent?
Yeah.
And if you ask that question, I think you're like, yeah, maybe I need both. I want to vent. And then my husband and I had this conversation the other day. He was like, are you just venting or do you want me to respond?
Yes.
And give you some advice. And I was like, can I just like get it off my chest and then think about that again and come back to you? And he was like, totally. So I vented. And then I was like, yeah, I do want to know what you think about this.
Yes. Well, and even not as a recipient, as the person listening, I'm naturally a fixer. I'm like, oh, we got to do this, this, and this. You'll be fine.
I've got it all figured out.
But sometimes that's not what my friend needs.
No.
You know, sometimes it's not what I need.
But I do, I think, and one of the hardest parts can be seeing one of your friends struggle and they don't want your advice.
Yes.
And they just, and here's the thing that I think also, you just, sometimes people have to fall on their faces.
Yeah, sometimes you, and that's so hard to let them.
But we both have a third kid. We treat them very differently than the first. The first one, oh my gosh. Oh, honey, let me wipe your nose and your butt at the same time. By the third one, you're like, I hope you can find the wipes.
And that's true. And that's being a good friend.
And they learn faster. And you see, if I treated my first son the way I treat my third son, you know, but you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
The one thing you can take away is that sometimes people do need to fall on their faces. Mm-hmm. But you need to pick them up.
Yeah,
you have you better to be there. You for can't the whole go, journey. Oh, look at you. I knew better. I know people like that. Oh, look. Oh, I told her. Well, you know what? Don't fucking tell her. Go pick her up. She's on the floor.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So I think you have to ask the question. And then if you know the friend's going to fall on the face, you just got to pick them up.
Yeah.
I don't think you can control the controllables.
Yeah.
And that's how you react to their suffering and pain.
Yeah.
You don't need to process it through your body.
And sometimes when my friend, like we've shared a lot of joy stuff going into this conversation, like times when you've picked up joy.
Oh,
yeah. And that's been inspiring and encouraging to me, just hearing how other people have, you know, I just noticed this the other day. And I was like, well, I should have been noticing that about my own life. And I, you know, it was just fleeting to me.
But sometimes you need the mirror. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's great.
You need to remember you're really smart and pretty and a fast reader.
I can read with the best of them.
A huge thank you to our friends at On Trend Creative Studio for sponsoring this episode. On Trend Creative Studio specializes in social media management and marketing. They also offer advanced photography, videography, and website development. Their team's strategic creativity ensures campaigns resonate with audiences and drive tangible results. You can check them out on Instagram at OnTrend Creative Studio or on the web at OnTrendCreativeStudio.com. Okay, can I switch the focus? Sure. Can I shine the spotlight on my friend Brandy?
I'm going to try it.
You made an enormous, courageous, and I remembered the day and where we were standing when you were told me this. You came in the shop and you were like, you basically told me you had kind of like dropped a bomb on your life in terms of like, you were secure and you knew what every day was going to hold and you had the steady pay and everything. And then you just said, I'm not happy.
Yep.
Can you talk about that? I think in terms of you were seeking something that you know, maybe, I don't know if you were seeking the big B or joy or whatever, but you talk to me, tell me everything.
So I really like how you set that up. That's a great explanation. I feel like a little background. I work for a family business. My husband and I work together in the family business. So this was very like intertwined. This wasn't just quitting my job, you know, because my husband and I both had to quit our jobs. And we had to deal with the family. I mean, I literally said, this is Josh's last day. To Josh and
you're such a
I mean, we were on the same page.
You're
about
such
it,
a badass.
But somebody had to just say, this is the end line.
You said this is we've had enough. Yeah.
So we had felt this coming. Like we had been.
I say that knowing you had had conversations.
Yeah.
That you didn't go in and force. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, even for a couple of years, it's such a weird thing to try to put into words because we had great jobs. We were good at our jobs. We even enjoyed our jobs, but we were literally that quote I read at the beginning of the podcast was my family. I mean, we were doing it all. We were doing the 40-hour work week and all the extracurriculars and the home life, and we were doing them well. And we thought that's what we were supposed to be doing, but we were starting to realize we weren't having a lot of joy in doing that. And we were literally like running a rat race.
Wow.
Like that phrase.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we were.
It's very relatable.
And slowly little things kept creeping in. Like, I don't think it's supposed to be this hard. Like, even though we were making it work, it was like, I don't know if it's supposed to be this hard. I think maybe we should enjoy what we do a little more. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't have stress 24/7. And I was
maybe
really,
we should have some room for joy.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because I was really bringing, I was living. We were talking about that constant state of stress. That was me. I was living and thriving off of that. Like it was feeding me. I was feeding it. I could not get out of that.
That statement alone, the power in that, because I think so many people can relate to that, that you start feeding this beast of the stress and you kind of start to live off of. You need that adrenaline, like to get through the day.
Well, you don't know
so
what
difficult.
To do with yourself when you're not solving all these problems. Like literally for me to just sit on the couch, I had to learn how to do that again.
I could not relate to anything more. I'm in the process of teaching myself to sit down on the couch. Like you've
not
made me want to
clean
read
the
more.
House, not really be on my phone. Like,
right.
You know, sometimes that's enjoyable, but just to be just sitting there taking it in.
You've encouraged me to read a lot more. And I have to quite literally force myself on a rainy, cold Sunday where there is nothing going on. The grocery list is, everything's done.
And it's still hard.
And I want to get up. I want to get up 15 times. I got to go change that laundry. Nothing is urgent. So that retrain, you're so right. And I think you were hitting the nail on the head. So
and it was like a slow creep in, you know, even maybe a year or two. We were like, I just think this should be a little different, you know, but it's the fine line of, am I just fantasizing, you know, because we're all like, their job sure. seems cool. You know, I can do that. But do you ever work on it?
And so did it take you 2 years? And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but did it take you, because I really want to know, did it take you 2 years of asking, is this a grass is always greener scenario or is this a I'm really fundamentally unhappy scenario?
Well, I don't know an exact time frame. Definitely probably a year's worth of just something's not right. Even though it was all right, just something just wasn't
sitting.
I didn't feel like we were fulfilling what we were made to do with this life. Let's go a little deeper here. You know, like I feel like
that's not,
we just weren't doing it as we were really supposed to be doing it. And we were having these feelings of maybe something needs to change, but it was like, are you fantasizing? Are you not? And then there was an instance where there was a disagreement at work and I was very upset by it. And they really, all these feelings just bubbled.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? I think we need to get out of this.
Was it a switch for you? Did it hit a switch?
It was a couple of weeks of the maybe flickering. And then there was one day where a conversation happened and that switch went up. It was locked. Yeah. It was not coming back down. And I was literally done at that point. And I had a conversation with a very trusted friend that was like a neutral third party, didn't know me too well, and didn't know my family too well. So they were very like, just let me run this by you.
Yeah.
And actually that conversation, it was such a good, he's a pastor, so he's a really good listener. But it was so good because he just listened and he made like two or three comments. But in his listening, I realized.
He said, Mirror.
We're both out. You know,
when you're in situations, I think that are bad, and I think a lot of our listeners will say yes, absolutely to this. When you're in a situation that's bad, you don't understand how bad it is. You have no context.
Yeah, until you verbalize,
until you say it,
you need that vent
to somebody else, and they like you'll see their face, and they're like, "Well, damn. I mean, can I get a margarita double on the rock?" And you're like, "Oh God, is it that bad?
Is it that bad? Yeah,
because you've become." Because
you're making it work.
You have become immune to the first time something bad happens, the second, the third. But then you just build up this immunity to the pain and the frustration and the sadness or the depression or whatever surrounding a situation that has maybe over a long time become bad.
Yes.
The hardest thing, I think, and the thing that I love most about, and I think it's so important because I know so many women doing the same thing right now. We have turned, you know, this corner and we've started this new chapter and we're saying, all right, here comes the second part of my life, you know?
Yes.
And how do I want to live it? Am I living it the way I want? And they're doing the same thing or they're thinking about dropping.
Well, that's why I love your analogy of the spinning plates because that was like, a perfect example. And it was like one day I said, I'm just going to drop all of these. How bad can it be? And we quit our jobs and we're not getting another job in the same industry. Like we have like looking for new careers. Yes. Because we were that done, you know? And so we did that. We're moving. We have really tried, we've used this as an opportunity to say, maybe we're holding on to stuff like material things and things like that. Let's just let it all go.
Wow.
And we're like literally starting over, but it's good.
It's
and it's
so
empowering
fucking brave
because it's like,
you're underplaying it
a
little.
It's a brand new adventure. I mean, we were depressed. I mean,
it doesn't matter though.
I don't want to glorify this. We went through depression, a lot of hard struggles.
Brandy, most people would just still live there though, because it's easier.
And we are kind of fine.
Humans just, we want to take the easy route. That's, you know, and you guys, I mean, you dropped every single plate all at once. And you said,
I'm nothing if not dramatic.
I was talking to someone the other day and no, that's not true. You're like the least drama. I was talking to someone the other day and they were worried about something. And I said, my husband used to do this practice with me because I'm a worrier and an overthinker. And all right, so what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, it doesn't get done. Okay. And then what happens then? Well, then the email doesn't go out. Okay. Well, then the email doesn't go out. What happens then? Well, the customer doesn't get the email. Okay. And then how does that change their day? Well, it doesn't. Okay, so what's the problem?
Yes.
Like, give me the, if you work through to the absolute worst case scenario, it's actually not as bad as you think.
Well, and that's.
Now, the stakes are higher when you have kids and a mortgage.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to underplay that, but I think sometimes if you walk through, it's like, I have the balls to change a career, so I know I can do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We said, okay, we're changing this career. We still have a roof over our heads. We're all still healthy. So there are a lot of days where we're like, this is still a first world problem.
Yep.
And so that really helped us put it into perspective and to see joy and other parts that we were probably taking for granted, like the roof and the health and things like that, because we were so caught up in the running. So it was a good kind of joy slap in the face too. It was like, this is what you should
do. Was it immediate? Did the joy slap hit you the day that you walked out?
Maybe not the pure joy, but you definitely start seeing things differently almost immediately.
Joy
like slap. Once that switch. Yeah. Now the joy slap might come a little later.
You still waiting for it?
No, I've gotten
can
it.
Can I get it on my ass? I'm just kidding.
Where exactly were you
Where can
slapped?
I request my joy slap?
Oh, good times.
Tell me, since you've made this shift, give me like a moment where, and I know the roof and all of the, but like, have you had a moment where you've just felt like the freedom of joy of not, of being out of the what you thought you should have? Because I would imagine that in the situation you were in, so much of it was tied up in, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, because that is the big B balance, right? Mm-hmm. You go to work and you earn a paycheck and you, mm-hmm. you know, you don't put things before other things. And, you know, and have you had that moment yet where you've, maybe it's just been a small moment, but like, has there been that moment of like relief and maybe not the joy slap, but of like, do you feel like the tide has changed for you?
Yes, because I do feel like a freedom now. I feel like I'm taking things back. Like even yesterday when we were together and we were doing some stuff to prepare for this podcast, and I was like, technically that was my work, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, that was fun.
Like, you know, I kind of loved us just eating lunch standing up, or you would not sit down. But
it's been so long since I had fun at my work.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I actually enjoyed that. And I guess that was work. Like, you know, like that was a moment for me where I was like, huh.
Well, first of all, I love that it involved me.
Yeah, you were there.
Thanks. Yeah, you were there. Thank you. I actually took a lot of joy in having a morning. My son has been sick, and he needed another day, but he maybe didn't need another day, you know. But
what's so hard to tell him?
Well, he had not slept well the night before, so it was like regardless, he wasn't gonna be effective in school. So we had a slower morning, and then you came over and you brought lunch, which was so sweet of you. You were like, "Hey, I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, yes." So we just, and I felt, it felt luxurious.
Yeah. And that's what a lot, I'm not rushing from thing to thing to thing any longer. And there is a lot of luxury in that time. And it'd been like years since I had not like rushed to the bus stop, rushed to work, rushed to pick up the kids, rushed to-
That I'm also like, becomes a mentality.
Constantly rushing from
and
thing
a programming.
To thing. Yeah. So that, the luxury of having some space in my schedule has been a luxury, literally. I use that word a lot just now.
Okay.
But I'm living in the luxury of time.
I think this is important. And I want to flip the script because two things can be true at once. We are women who are both 40. Why did I also, I love parents of three because you forgive every goldfish moment that I have. I'm like, how old are you, Brandon? You're like, Katie, I'm fucking 40. You didn't say 40.
I'm like, Katie, I'm 40. I'm the same age as you.
I'm like, you didn't miss a beat. And I really appreciate that.
Like, that wasn't like, too harsh.
You weren't at all. And I was like, yes. Oh my God, duh. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's a short circuit in my brain. I promise. I know you're 40. I don't know what is wrong with me. It's my goldfish. It's the goldfish memory. But we have three kids. We've been married for too long. No, I'm just kidding. For 16 years each. 18 and 16.
Yeah.
I think 16. And then however many, a long time. And we have, both of us have three kids. There was a time of building where the luxury didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I started my business, I'll speak to my experience, was when I couldn't say no to things and I couldn't turn things down. And I really had to build. And there is a building chapter. And I think that is something that younger people, you're not entitled to this, right? To this drop all the plates, you know, kind of Do you think? Am I being unfair?
I just want to make sure, like, I am not living a life of luxury. Like, we were throwing luxury around a lot.
Well, we said we took a lunch break, and that felt luxurious. Calm down, Brandy.
I don't want anybody to think I'm living it up.
We weren't at the spa. I can't afford
any of the
Bellinis.
Homes I've looked at. Okay. Let's just put it that way.
But we weren't at the spa sipping Bellinis.
No. We were working.
Picked up takeout.
Yeah.
And we worked through.
So I would recommend dropping the plates at any time where it seems wrong.
Okay, maybe I'm being unfair.
Because you can work your way back to wherever you need to be.
I just think sometimes there's a little bit of a give an inch, take a mile. And it's like everyone is, I'm just so stressed. It's like your stress is very different than my stress.
Yes.
And I feel like there's not a lot of reality around that. Like, you have to be conscious of the reality of life. Like, there are going to be times where you are trying to build something. So
stress is not always bad. I mean, stress can help you, you know, get to the next level and to encourage you and nudge you along.
You don't want to go too far.
You don't want to live in that constant no break.
And there are points. So one of the things we wanted to talk about was, can you have it all?
Yes.
And I think there are points where you can have it all.
Yeah.
You can.
It's not sustainable.
It will be fleeting because something will, their life is not a balancing act.
Wear that thing out.
It's fluid, and you are in ebbs and flows, and something bad is going to happen, and then something great is going to happen, and you can't control any of it, because that's the way we spin on this big, scary planet. But I do think there are times of building and times where you have to just deal with the stress. Mm-hmm. You can't just go, I don't want to tell everybody just drop the plates if you're feeling stressed, because sometimes you need to work through it.
And I'm still stressed. Like, I still have stress in my life.
But we're talking about you built a life, you had a foundation, and you had been doing something that wasn't serving you for a time that you had figured out it wasn't.
I sat with it long enough to feel it out. Yeah. This wasn't a fleeting decision. I mean, this was very grounded and experienced, and it was time.
It was time.
Joy only.
Joy and pleasure. And we're going to talk about pleasure.
Lots of kinds of
my pleasure. Friends are very excited about the sex episode and probably a little nervous about what I'm gonna say, but don't worry, friends.
No names
No names or acts that would let anyone know it was you.
All right.
Okay, so
don't say the B word anymore.
Not the capital one, at least. Mm-mm. And let's replace a lot of that B word with some more joy practice.
Yeah
Well,
just live in the moment. We're going to work on it.
I'm constantly working on it.
Yeah.
We're all work in progress.
This brings me joy.
This has brought me so much joy.
I got to tell you,
it has been so fun.
And it's just been a breath of fresh air.
It's going to be a great ride.
Oh.
All right. Buckle
up. Giddy up.
Next week.
Giddy up.
Don't you dare rein us in.
What's next week? Bad Mommy?
Yeah.
We're doing what? Bad Mommy.
Bad Mommy. I'm so excited.
Friendship.
Sex. Faith.
Faith.
You're making me read the juiciest book. Did I tell you I picked up the book for our book?
Yeah. I loved that book. Yeah. Oh, book club.
I started reading it last night and I could not put it down.
It's so good.
Oh, it's juicy. And I feel like it's like everything we talk about.
It and that's why I was like, this is going to be the perfect book club. It's like our life. Somebody was like, here, have a fun read.
Have a fun read.
This is what you people look like.
It is. It's like, it's so good. Okay. We'll talk about that again soon.
All right. She did what?
She did what?
She did it. Balance/joy.
She did the lowercase b.
The lowercase b. No B words here.
Catch us next week.
All right. Peace out.
Peace. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope you enjoyed our conversation and can't wait to share another episode with you next Thursday.
Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. To keep up with the latest, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Podcast She Did What. We'll be sharing updates, behind the scenes, and announcements you won't want to miss.
And if there's anything you'd like to share with us, whether it be a personal story or feedback on our episodes, you can leave us a voicemail at 762-499-2201 or head over to our website, shedidwhatpodcast.com. Also, feel free to leave us a review down below. We'd love to know what you think.
She Did What is hosted by us, Brandy Chandler and Katie Jacobs, and produced by Studio D Podcast Production.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next Thursday. And remember, it isn't always easy, but it sure as hell can be entertaining.